the necessary things of life. You know our need of them. So we apologize for getting worked up about so many things that we ought not to be concerned about. And Lord, you would have us to focus on your kingdom. You would have us seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. So Lord, I ask that you would do that this morning, that you would cause us to be in complete alignment with your heart for being prioritized by the things of the kingdom and not by the things of this world. Move our hearts as is necessary. Change us in ways that we need to be changed. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be at work touching our hearts and moving us, rearranging our priorities as is appropriate. And I ask for your help, Holy Spirit, in doing so. So please be welcomed among us and free to be our Lord in changing the priorities of our heart. Let us love the things of the kingdom. Let us be passionate about the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. There's plenty to be anxious about, isn't it? We are filled with anxiety. We struggle. We need peace. We look for God to deliver and move in ways that are clear for us to see where he's going so we can be taken care of. And yet we get anxious about so much because we think he's not going to take care of us. And Jesus is saying here, I want you to be at peace. I want your priorities to be the priorities of the kingdom. I don't want you worried and consumed about everything else that people of the world are worried and consumed about. I don't want you to be anxious about all those things. So stop being anxious about those things. I want you to focus on the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place. That's the real question this morning. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Am I? That's the question for today. Are we in alignment with the priorities of the kingdom? I find that a very convicting question. But if you are in tune about what we've been doing, you know we've been in a sermon series on our core values. And I had planned on preaching on prayer this morning because that's the second of our core values. But after having a few conversations with a handful of you, it appeared that I should maybe change what I would be speaking about because of the questions that arose out of our congregational meeting on a couple of weeks ago when we asked you to begin to think about pledging towards architectural plans that involved the possibility of renovation. And there were a handful of questions, and I can summarize them. They basically congeal around the idea of what is our vision and why would we even think about renovations. And so I feel the need that that's what I should speak about this morning and not prayer. So if you're looking forward to a sermon on prayer, stay tuned. Come back next week and that will be the focus of what we're heading on next week. So it's prayer. So the question, what is our vision here exactly? There's two dimensions to that. There's a macro dimension to our vision. There's a micro dimension to it. You see it. You keep this kind of thing before you in the bulletin. If you don't know what our vision and mission is, it's probably my fault. I don't talk about it enough, I suppose. But if you have a bulletin, everything about us that governs the direction that we intend on taking is right on the back of it. But in order to understand mission, you really have to understand our mission, because our vision is what drives us in fulfilling our mission. So what's the mission? We'll start there. It's very simple. The mission of this church is the same as the mission of every church on the planet. We got it from Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, just before he ascended into heaven. He told us to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the mission of the church. No matter if we're located in Winchester or Winnipeg, everybody who claims to be a follower of Jesus is about that task. making disciples of all nations and teaching people to obey the words of Jesus and all that he's taught. That's what we're about. So it's not a difficult question. Our mission statement is to develop a community of committed disciples of Jesus that has an impact locally and around the world. I like to think of it as we're to make world-changing disciples of all nations for the glory of Jesus. In a sentence. That's it. We want people to change the world. We want to be followers of Jesus in such a way that our lives make a visible difference. That's our mission. So if that's the mission, what's the vision? Our vision statement, it's on the bulletin too. Nothing has changed. It is to be a community, a transformational community for Jesus. We want to see lives transformed. So there's two applications of that vision. And the one is that we want to see unbelievers become believers, and we want to see immature believers become mature believers. That's what we're headed for. So you know this. We want to see people coming to Christ here. We want to preach the gospel and present the truth of the saving faith in Jesus that is entrusted to us as his people. So we want to share the gospel with people who have never heard it. We want people who have no faith to come to be filled with faith. We want the faithless to be faithful. We want those who are enslaved to sin to be set free and know the life that God can give through faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see new birth. We want to see people being born again. We want to see transferal and transformation from death unto life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's part of what we want to do. And then secondly, we want to see people transformed. You know, that's just the beginning, right? We're not instantly, when we come to faith in Jesus, are we suddenly sparkly, clean, sinless saints? No, we're still a mess. I mean, we need one another to work through that, to grow from being immature in our faith to being mature, to being unstable in what we're learning and knowing that has already changed our life, to being founded and grounded. We want immature believers to become mature believers. We want baby Christians to become committed disciples. So it's both aspects of that application of vision, transformation. We want to see people being transformed. And so we share testimonies. You get to hear it. You get to witness it. That's what we're about. And there's a micro dimension to that vision, which is, so that never changes. That vision to be a transformational community will never change. But there is a micro version of that, which sometimes does change, and that depends upon the emphasis that we sense the Lord leading us into in any given ministry year. So we have a really easy way for us to remember our purposes. As a people, as a church, we want to reach up, we want to reach in, and we want to reach out. We want to reach up in worship to God in prayer. We want to reach in teaching and being in fellowship with one another. We want to reach out. So every year, as we as elders go away and ask the question, Lord, what are you inviting us to this year? The emphasis might change. So for example, this year, as we went away in May at the elders' retreat, and we asked the Lord that question, a couple of things came up. Leaning into reaching in and teaching was one thing. So we started a couple of Sunday school classes that we have not offered before. We started several small groups that we have not offered before. We want there to be a way for people to grow and be maturing in faith. So we expanded that. The other thing that we sensed the Lord leading us into was reaching out. And so we decided, how are we going to do that? And it already come up in several places. We decided Christianity Explored is going to be the way this year that we pour our energy into reaching out. And maybe you know what Christianity Explored is. If you've been here, I hope you do. If you're not, you've never heard of it. It's very similar to Alpha. If you don't know what Alpha is, it's simply a venue for creating a meeting that over a meal, the gospel is shared through a DVD series, and then afterwards you get to talk about it. And the point is that we as a people invite our friends and family and neighbors and acquaintances to come and say, will you come have a meal with us? Just one. Just come and have one meal with us. And while we're there, we're going to talk about what we believe. It's very simple. You don't have to come back. We won't pressure you to come back. Just come have one meal with us. And then if the Lord is in it, we're praying they'll come back for 7 weeks in a row. That's our prayer. And understand what it is that we believe about Christians, about the Christian faith. So that's what we sense the Lord calling us to this year. It's part of our vision to see us reaching out in more tangible ways. So we want to reach out. And if you ask, well, then who's your target audience? Who are you trying to hit? Well, the answer is lost people, everyone. Who did Jesus call us to make disciples of? All nations, all people. We don't have one particular age group or one particular demographic. We feel called to reach out, and the people to whom we want to reach out are the people you know. We as a church are you. It's not up to Ian and me and the other elders to go and invite people to come to this. It's up to everybody in this room to invite people. Because if we don't invite people, no one's going to come. And then that won't be a way for us to share the gospel. So we're praying. This is what we're sensing the Lord inviting us to this year. And we'll begin it in the end of January or February, however long it takes us to get there. Planning is beginning. That's what we're shooting for. We want to be a church that reaches out. And that is what we think the Lord is inviting us to. So we're reaching out to everybody represented by the reach of that map back there. When we ask you to put a pin representing where you spend most of your time, that's the reach of this body of believers. Your coworkers, your family members, your neighbors, wherever you are, that's who we want to reach out to. Because people will listen to those that they have a relationship with. So that's our prayer. And I invite you, please begin to pray that we would have a full house. Pray for the people that the Lord would have you invite. Earnestly pray. Right now and today, begin to pray, Lord, who do you want me to invite? And we're praying that the Lord would begin to make a difference there. Our target audience is everyone who's reflected here. And I thank God that there are many nations represented in this little church, this little gathering of people. We want to reach everybody whom you touch. And how many nations, we want to make disciples of all nations. And how many nations do we have represented in this room? Trinidad, Haiti, we have Haitians, we have Chinese, we have transplanted Russians. We have, how many Brazilians? How many people do we have here? We want to reach the Indians. We have everybody. We want to reach all nations for the sake of the gospel. That's our desire and that's our prayer. Because that's what heaven is going to look like. I love that when you think of how many nations are going to be standing before the Lord. Revelation 5, 9 and 10 says, they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals. You were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And you made them a kingdom of priests to our God and they shall reign on earth. That's who we want to look like. That's who we're trying to reach. All nations, every age group, every town that is touched, we want to have a reach into. So that's our desire, is that we would equip you to be able to reach your neighbors and hopefully and confidently share the gospel. That's what we're dreaming. So that's what our vision is. Our vision is to be a transformational community where people are being born again and then growing into maturity. And frankly, we have a lot of room for there to be new births in this church. We have lots of space and available for new believers to come to Christ. And I pray this year would be so unprecedentedly different than last year in that regard. I hope the spiritual nursery is full in this church, that there are many people coming to faith. Do you? Is that not what a priority of the kingdom is? Is that part of your spiritual heartbeat to yearn that lost people would come to faith? Are you crying out to God day and night like the saints under the throne saying, use me, Lord, to bring the gospel to lost people? I'm not. And I want to be. I don't every day cry out for the lost around me. I don't. And I need that to change. And I'm wondering, are you there too? Is the gospel the heartbeat of your life? It thrills me to hear about Operation Christmas Child, because it's not just delivering toys. That's a doorway to deliver the gospel. If we deliver toys, we're useless. We need to deliver the gospel. We need gospel energy to flow through our veins. That's our vision. It's way bigger than what we're doing. Yes. Isn't it supposed to be? So that's what we're about. That's the first question. What's our vision? I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see no chairs left empty in this room for people who are learning to fall in love with Jesus. And we need to invite them to come with us on this journey. It'll be messy. It will. And that's wonderful. That's the first question. The second question is, well, why are you even talking about renovating this place? And I think the only reasonable answer to that question, the simple answer is, so that it supports the vision and the mission of this church. Why else would we do it? If there's not going to be any vote from me to say, let's renovate the sanctuary because I don't like the pink chairs. I can't stand them. Nobody's going to vote for that. We want to have a bigger reason and purpose for what we're doing. So what we're talking about, how all this came about, and I'll explain it to you, is that we were considering how can we reach out more effectively. That's what we're yearning to do. And so this all began. There were two things that happened that even started this discussion about renovating the sanctuary. It wasn't because we're tired of the way the place looks. That's not how it came about. There were two things. First thing that happened was we redid the lobby. We just changed it a little bit. Moved some furniture around, put down a rug, bought some frilly things and stood them in the corner in some nice little vases. And that was it. And what was happened, though, was amazing. Something shocking happened. I was stunned by how many people said, that sanctuary, the lobby, looks really nice. That's interesting. It looks pleasant. It's pleasing. But what hit me between the eyes was one comment from Franny Bradford. She said, I am amazed at how welcoming that makes me feel when I walk through that door. And welcoming was the bat that got my attention. So, Franny, it's your fault. Because is that not what we want to do? Do we not want people who don't yet love Jesus walk in these doors and feel welcome? I do. I don't want any unnecessary obstruction to the gospel. There's lots of reasonable obstructions to the gospel, right? For the sake of preaching the gospel. It's offensive. The Bible tells us the gospel is offensive. We're not going to change how we present the gospel. But could we remove things that cause obstructions to the gospel and change them? And if changing the furniture causes people to more easily hear the gospel, then shouldn't we at least talk about it? That was how this started. And then we went on our elders retreat again, and we were praying, asking the Lord, what would you have us do this year? What are you calling Hope Christian Church to this year? And as we prayed, it resonated with us. Are there things about our culture that we can change to remove any barrier, any unnecessary barrier to people hearing the gospel? If it's offensive to hear that everybody is a sinner, and that would keep people away because I don't want to go to that church. They tell me I'm a sinner. Well, that's just something we're not going to change. We're going to keep preaching that we need to be saved because we're sinners. Everybody who's a sinner needs to hear they're a sinner so they'll look to Jesus and say, can you take away my sin? We're not going to remove the necessary offenses of the gospel. But are there small things that we could change that would make it more easy for unbelievers to hear the gospel? That's what began the discussion. And as we were talking about this, it's also the 20th year anniversary of this church. And Doug so cleverly said in software lingo, what if we were to think of Hope 2.0? You know, a new version. And the question that flourished was, what would it be like if we were to start a new church again here in Winchester? We've got a building. We've got people, we have a budget, we have elders. What would it be like for the sake of the gospel for us to reimagine all that might be necessary to start a church? Would we change anything? We're not going to change our mission statement. We're not going to change our vision. We're not going to change our purposes. We're not going to change our core values. We love those things. But is there anything else that we would change if we were starting over today? And we thought, well, maybe one or two things. We might change a logo. So you got a little logo change in your bulletin. Or we might change that lobby. That would be another thing. It's a very small lobby. There's not much space to congregate. There's not much space to linger. I mean, we have a small lobby. Small lobbies say, keep moving. Don't block traffic. Larger lobbies say, would you sit, hang out for a while, have a cup of coffee. If you're here, we like you here. Stay. That's what I receive when I have a large lobby with empty chairs. It's like, sit down, relax. What would be the effect on unbelievers who might come and have some coffee machines and cookies that we might be able to share after the service? Would that do anything? And of course, we completely understand. Nobody comes to Christ because of cool coffee bars. Nobody's going to walk in and say, my, that's one attractive coffee bar you have. Tell me about this Jesus. We know that doesn't happen. But might it give us space to converse with people and linger and answer questions? That was what was behind our discussions. We don't know the answer. I'm just explaining to you, why would you even think about all this? It caused us then to take a look at both this space, because that affects this space. A large open lobby allows lingering to happen out there and not here. So this space uncomfortably doubles as both social space and sacred space. So it's difficult if you're in here before the service starts to begin to prepare your heart for worship and focus on the Lord when two lovely people who haven't seen each other for weeks are enjoying Christian fellowship very loudly over in the corner. But where else can it happen? It's difficult. So we began to think, what would it be like to expand space for socializing as well as closing in some space and here have sacred space? And we also began to look at what are there other elements of our corporate services together that we might change? Is there anything that's difficult about our culture that keeps people away? And so we asked the question, what about missionary prayer? How does an unbeliever who, but again, we're expecting will be among us. We're expecting unbelievers who do not have the passions or the loves that we have to be among us. What's it like for them when we all get up and go to the outer edges of the sanctuary to go to a post and pray for a missionary? And we invite them, come down front and sit on the front row. If you were at a place for the first time, how would you feel? So we said, can we change that? And if you're like me, you're thinking, it makes my skin crawl to think about changing missionary prayer because I love missionary prayer. I love it that missionaries are passionately prayed for here. That actually drew me to this church. And I thought to myself as I was praying about this, well, Todd, are you guys trying to reach people like you? Are you trying to reach people who already have a passion for cross-cultural missions? No. I want to reach people who don't yet have a passion for cross-cultural missions. And I also thought, would the missionaries that we are praying for create anything in their gathering that could potentially alienate the very people you're trying to reach? I don't know. I don't want to do that. So is there a way that we will maintain a priority to cross-cultural missions that would not potentially alienate people in this congregation who come visit? So we decided to change it a little bit. So we did. Doug now prays in a different way. We don't go to the walls anymore. Does that mean our commitment to cross-cultural missions has lessened? No, not in the least. Does it mean we want to be aware of people who don't yet love Jesus who might be among us? Yes, we want to be. And Doug, I think you're doing a fantastic job of praying through our missionaries and keeping them before us. He's also caused us to think about what is it like in this room, this environment, when we worship together in song and we express that. So we experimented. We lifted the ceiling. We took away the tiles to see what is that like. I mean, architectural is not, structures are not decisive in seeking Jesus, but they're not unimportant. Right? Long ago, when Christianity developed into a place where buildings could be constructed for the gathering of God's people, do you know how they were built? Massive! High, vaulted ceilings, incredible, expansive spaces. Why? Because the architects have theological intentions in structural and physical structures. When you're trying to communicate to an illiterate people, uneducated, who don't have the Bible to read and understand who God is, it's incredibly difficult to say, our God is infinite and immense in a very teeny tiny space. So there were massive rooms that were built. So when you walk into the gathering place of God's people, you walk in and you go, wow. And you sit down and you feel very small. And you hear a gospel message that says, this immense, mighty God condescended into human form and he came down to save little you. You think, then let's sing and knock the stained glass windows out of this place, for that's a wonderful message. That's what buildings were for. They're tools to help people fall in love with Jesus. That's why we're talking about this. It's not because I don't like the ceiling tiles and I want some new, this carpet stained. It's not why we're doing this. It's not why we ought to be doing this. Is any of this necessary? Nobody's going to come into this church and say, wow, the acoustics are fascinating. I want to become a member of this church. But could there be a passion for the lost among us as a people that would cause transformation to happen in people's lives? Is that worth the cost of what we're dreaming of? I don't know yet. We're dreaming. And would Jesus be pleased? Worship services at this church are constructed and built for those who can. We create worship services for those of you who can worship. We will never be driven by those who can't. But would Jesus be pleased with us if we neglect to consider their experience when they're among us? That's all we're asking. And I pray that our hearts will break for a new generation of people who need to fall in love with Jesus. There's plenty of room for new birth in here among us as a people. So that's what we're asking. Is it necessary? Absolutely not. Is it worth the cost? I don't know yet. We're praying, but we're dreaming. Is it wrong to dream? I'm sorry that some of you were confused about what we're asking. We're still praying that the Lord would make it clear. We want you praying with us. We want you to dream and investigate with us. If the answer is no, don't change a thing, that's completely fine. Completely fine. Completely fine. Because I think, who are we trying to reach? We're trying to reach New Englanders, right? Long ago, there were some Puritan New Englanders who would walk in this building and say, this is good. There's no icons. There's no unnecessary flourish. But we're not trying to reach 17th century Puritans. We're trying to reach 21st century New Englanders. What's their experience? This building it's just a tool. And we're trying to figure out how might we use it more effectively for the name of Jesus. So if we change nothing, that's fine. But one thing I do know, we can renovate nothing in this space. I know my heart needs a renovation once again to be impassioned for the lost. I think we as a church need a renovation of heart, whether we change not one stitch on the wall. We need to be re-energized in our love for sharing the gospel for the people who've never heard it. I don't want any more people from any other church to come to this church. I want a bunch of people who've never been in church to come to this church. I want to see people who have no passion for global missions come here and be transformed into missionaries or people who are passionate for Jesus at work. That's what we want to see. That's why we're dreaming together. So we're stumbling along. Pray for us as elders. We're just trying to discern the will of the Lord and use our resources the best way possible to eliminate barriers to anybody coming to know Jesus. He's worth it all. So seek first the kingdom of God. Is that the passionate plea of your heart? Do I seek first the kingdom of God? I need you to ask that question. Personally, we need to ask it corporately. What's the first thing on your mind when you wake up? Maybe it's a Red Sox today, I don't know. Doesn't that tell you what's important? What effect would it have if every day this people woke up thinking, Jesus, I want to live for your kingdom today. I want to glorify your name in New England. And I want to see it redound to the glory of Jesus. I want to see this people transformed into a mighty light shining out for the name of Jesus. I'm not quite there yet. That's what I'm shooting for. I want to think like that. This morning, when I woke up, I did think, oh, did the Red Sox win? I did. That was the first thought on my mind. Because I didn't waste my time watching the game last night. And I thought, I'm going to read my Bible first. And that's what I did. So I need a renovation of heart. This building is way, way, way down the line on the list of priorities. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. But if changing this place will expand the kingdom of God, I'm all for it. And I pray you are too. But we need to seek him and see what is it the Lord wants us to do. And that means we need to pray with all of our heart. So next Sunday, you're going to hear about prayer. All this works together. We're growing together, trying to be a balanced church. It's what we're striving for. Little pieces along the way, step by step. I pray you're with us. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help us seek first your kingdom. So many things that compete for our attention and our love. Let the passionate beat of our heart be directed toward kingdom priorities. Jesus, you came to seek and save the lost. May we at Hope seek and try with the help of your Holy Spirit to be used by you in saving the lost. We're not seeking the other righteous who are church shopping, and we're looking for people who want to pour out their lives for the sake of the gospel in yearning to see lives transformed. And may you call many here. God, grow this church. Grow us numerically. Grow us spiritually. Grow us in our passionate love for you. Grow us in seeing your Holy Spirit at work. Move our hearts away from worthless things and direct the affections of our hearts towards glorifying Jesus through every way possible. Open the windows of heaven, I beg you, and pour a blessing on this people. Bless us at work. Bless us at home with family and neighbors and acquaintances and co-workers. May we make a difference this year, Lord, for the sake and the glory of Jesus. Glorify your name, Father, through this people, I pray. Amen.